Well, Sir Kenneth Baker there with suggestions of a muddled middle. With me now in the studio, Tim Montgomery, a columnist at The Times, who used to be the editor of the website Conservative Home, and Mary Dajewski, a columnist at The Guardian and The Independent. Thanks for joining us. Mary, let me start with you. In what way do you think a grand coalition could be a good thing?
Well, I think Sir Kenneth Baker put it extremely well. It does actually represent, or it would represent, a large majority of where the British voters stand ideologically, politically, and it could be much stronger than the alternative minority government of whichever party has the largest number of MPs.
So it is one way, Tim, of getting a mandate, actually.
Well, the British people are quite conflicted on this, David. They do like political parties working together, but they also like political parties to keep their promises. And if you look on a whole range of issues, whether it's the European referendum or whether it's scrapping the bedroom tax or whether it's devolution to England, the Labour and the Conservative parties, yes, they have a lot of common ground, but they also have a lot of differences. And throwing these differences aside, just to look like, as a lot of voters would see it, to get the ministerial cars and the ministerial red boxes, voters would hate that. And I think the experience generally of grand coalitions, even in Germany, is it's the extremes that benefit. When the main parties come together, it's the Greens, it's the far left, it's the nationalists, it would be UKIP in Britain. And so there may be a temporary gain for having a grand coalition, but the fragmentation long-term it would produce to our political system would be not worth the price.
Interestingly, Ken Clark does say this would be a two-year thing. It couldn't go on any longer than that. But Mary, you
But I think in the short term, it's actually the point is the short term, because what we appear to be looking at the moment is a large centre with a periphery that is small but is actually quite dangerous. If you look at it, we've got something akin to a sort of centre-extreme right with UKIP. We've got the Scottish Nationalists, who may or may not hold the balance of power, and they are a separatist party.
But Tim, you seem to be saying actually that having a grand coalition might accentuate...
Yeah, I actually think Mary and Lord Baker are being incredibly short-termist. If you look, for example, one of the reasons why the SNP is surging in Scotland now is because they said we saw the Labour Party get in bed with the Tories during the referendum campaign, and we're the only party that will stand up against this Westminster establishment. Think how Greens and UKIP would be able to feast on that message in the UK as a whole if the Labour and the Tories get together. Look at Greece, where you had all the mainstream parties come together to sort of support the consensus, and it's the radical Syriza party that have come forward in protest against that political establishment joining together in a false consensus.
But if you like, that's the big European split, isn't it? Because you're quoting Greece as the example of the worst case, and I'm going to quote Germany as the example of the best case. What you have is a stable government, you have centrist politics, and you have an eminently sensible technocratic government, which is less ideological and therefore freer actually to act.
I'd be delighted to take Germany as your case point, if you like, and I'm a great admirer of Angela Merkel, but the OECD has said that actually, if you look at the country that has made least growth, pro-growth reforms over the last decade, anywhere in Europe, it is Germany. The problem with this consensus is you can survive if you're a strong, stable country, but to get things done, actually that sort of consensus where you have left and right producing hybrid bills of pork and red tape doesn't work.
Either way, can I just ask you this, Mary, because we'll run out of time, and I'm keen to know. It's against our political culture at the moment, clearly. We're a confrontational sort of parliament, and that's the way it works. No hemicycles to be seen in our parliamentary way. How long do you think it would take to change that sort of understanding of how coalition politics works?
Well, the geography of Parliament is obviously against it. But we've had a coalition for 5 years that proved extraordinarily stable. And when you listen to the vox pops and the phone-ins all over the country in the last 2-3 weeks, we've heard people really slightly hesitantly admitting that they rather like the coalition.
Okay, we've got 10 seconds.
Not what the opinion polls say. And if they still don't like coalition government, and if you had the Labour and the Tories together, they'd actually have about 550 of the 650 MPs. There wouldn't be much of an opposition in the House of Commons, and not having a strong, big opposition isn't good for democracy either.
Okay, well, it's still a fairy tale at this stage, but Tim Montgomery, Mary Dzhajewski, thank you both very much. Now, Ed Miliband has been reaching out to would-be first-time buyers today, promising them that...